dear friend Carrie Ray, because she lost her son this past weekend. And
I saw that.
I don't know. It's a comforting, I don't know. Yeah. Comforting, you know.
Well, sure. You know, God is so good to us. Mm-hmm. You know, he shares his blessed mother with us. We all have a guardian angel, you know, an angel that's with us all the time.
Yep.
That's watching out for us. And Jackson, your guardian angel's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yes. Has been really good. And mom's too.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Well, you give your best to your brothers and sisters and to your dad. And we are so glad you came in to visit with us today. And you just keep up the good work, young man.
Yes,
and if you need a recommendation to the police academy someday,
yeah,
here's the ex-old police chief sitting here.
Yeah, and we'll probably both be gone by then. But I'll write it out now and put it in my lockbox for you, Jackson.
Well, would you like that?
I think the things that we've learned this morning, Mark, is that, you know, if you think something's wrong, you've got to act fast.
Oh, absolutely.
And thank God Sandy acted fast and got this ball rolling. And these doctors are so well trained and identified. And with the help of God, you know, and the miracles that God can provide.
Anything is possible.
This young man is sitting here today with us.
Grinning from ear to ear.
And it is a miracle.
Just as recovered to the eye as any child his age. I just... Yeah.
Now, Sandy, the Facebook page is Sharfy Strong.
Yes.
And that's just at Facebook.com?
Yes, it is. I'm not a big techie person, but yes, that's all. But I was able to start that, but yes.
S-C-H-A-R-F-Y, Strong, on Facebook. Just put that in the search engine for Facebook. Right. You can follow the progress of Jackson and the family. Mm-hmm. There's a way there to donate. We really want you to come to the Knights of Columbus Hall, or the church in Mount Zion, Our Lady of the Holy Spirit, for their all-you-can-eat breakfast. And support this fine family, and let's follow the progress of this young man as he makes a full recovery, and God love him. He's the cutest guy, you know.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's mine, but yeah, I think he's cute.
He is
a little bit shy, a little humble. I think
we try to be humble. I've always tried to keep our kids humble. I think it's a very important thing. So,
thanks so much, you guys, for being with us this morning. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9 and 96.5 WDCR. And Mark and I will be right back.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute on Relevant Radio. Have you ever heard someone say, "You've got to believe in yourself"? G.K. Chesterton says, "The people who believe in themselves are all in lunatic asylums." You have to believe in something outside yourself. You have to believe that there is a greater reality than the one inside your head. If the only thing you believe in is yourself, your world will become very small, about the size of a padded cell. We live in a world that rejects the worship of the one true God and has substituted something called the God within. But as Chesterton says, if Jones is told to worship the God within, it ultimately means that Jones shall worship Jones. And that's not going to work. Want more than a minute? Visit us at chesterton.org.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Boy Scouts of America announced on January 30th, 2017 that, quote, "starting today, we will accept and register youth in the Cub and Boy Scout programs based on their gender identity indicated on the application," end of quote. In other words, the Boy Scouts of America will accept youth members for both Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts who self-identify as male, regardless of the child's biological sex or physical anatomy from birth. According to the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, the Boy Scouts of America has assured its faith-based organization, Chartered Partners, that, as in the past, they will be able to organize their PACs, troops, crews, Sea Scout ships, and explorer posts in a way completely consistent with their religious beliefs. This is in keeping with a legal opinion provided to the Boy Scouts of America, permitting religious chartered organizations to use the scouting program to develop youth consistent with their organizational mission and in accordance with their religious beliefs. Those religious organizations are exempt from most, if not all, state and local place of public accommodation laws, and even if they are not exempt, are protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, following our Catholic religious beliefs, our approach in the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois will continue to be that only biological males from the time of birth may participate with the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts organizations chartered or sponsored by or using the facilities of Catholic entities in our diocese. Similarly, Girl Scout units that allow boys who claim to be transgender girls will not be allowed to use our facilities. Our religious understanding of this issue was clearly articulated by Pope Francis, who has called gender theory a global war against the family, saying on August 2, 2016, "Gender ideology is the annihilation of man as the image of God." The Holy Father added, "Today in schools they are teaching this to children, that everyone can choose their gender," according to a transcript of the Pope's remarks issued by the Vatican. In light of the recent announcement from the Boy Scouts of America, it was very timely that I attended a conference on transgender issues presented in Irving, Texas, by the National Catholic Bioethics Center. There was much valuable information provided to the bishops who attended this conference, so I would like to share some of the more important points with you. Transgenderism, or gender transitioning, is the attempted exchange of one's unambiguous biological and clearly defined sexual identity as male or female for the other sex. That is, a male attempting to alter himself to become female, or a female attempting to alter herself to become male. We are not talking about those rare cases of congenital birth defects where a person's biological sex may be anatomically ambiguous. There is no physical basis to a person claiming to be transgender. It is based on a person's feeling and identification with the opposite sex other than their gender from birth. While some people may tend to sympathize with the claims that a transgender person feels trapped in the wrong body, there is no scientific basis for these transgender claims. Transgender is not a medical diagnosis, but a subjective claim. The mental or emotional distress experienced by people who perceive a discrepancy between their biologically assigned gender and their subjectively experienced gender is a medical condition called gender dysphoria. The morally acceptable approach to gender dysphoria is bodily acceptance therapy, whereby the person is counseled to accept the biological sexual gender with which he or she was born. Bodily acceptance therapy seeks to correct transgender beliefs and mitigate transgender desires. Gender transitioning efforts, including behavioral, hormonal, or surgical treatments, which seek to affirm a person's transgender beliefs and act on bringing about a person's transgender desires, are never morally sound. Research shows that gender transitioning efforts are not medically sound either. Studies show that surgical interventions do not ultimately resolve feelings of anxiety and dysphoria, and appear to lead to a significant increase in attempted or completed suicides. In fact, studies also show most children who claim to identify as transgender will simply revert to feeling comfortable with their gender of their biological sex from birth by the time they become adults, even if they are simply left alone without any therapeutic intervention. Some people are surprised that transgender issues have burst so quickly and dramatically on the scene, but the issue, in fact, has been developing for some time and is not about to go away anytime soon. People should also realize that the transgender movement is not just about who can use which bathrooms and locker rooms, but it is part of a larger, subversive ideological goal that seeks to eliminate any distinction between male and female. According to a former State Department official quoted in the January 2017 issue of National Geographic magazine, quote, "The ultimate goal, surely, is to let all people define themselves as human beings, to break out of assigned categories and challenge received wisdom," end of quote. As noted earlier, Pope Francis has pointed out that our public schools are teaching children that they can choose their gender. Such cooperation and evil is morally wrong. There are many more moral implications that I cannot address here. For now, suffice it to say that our Catholic institutions, parishes, schools, universities, and hospitals must reject the false ideologies being promoted in our secular culture and stand for the truths revealed to us by God. May God give us this grace. Amen.
Talk radio for the Catholic life. 88.9, 96.5 FM, WDCR.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. Mark, what a great story. That family, it's amazing. And to see that young man sitting in here, and you know, you'd ask him a question, and God bless him, he'd nod. You know?
Well, yeah, he
we're on radio.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a humble guy. I mean, he's been through a lot, and even for 9 years old, I mean, he's humble. He's got a million-dollar grin. Yeah. His spirits are great. Yeah. And he just, you just look at him and think.
But I'll tell you what, Mark, I could feel the emotion. There were a couple times during that, my eyes.
Well, his were too. Couldn't see him because of the monitor you've got there. But I was watching him, and most of the time he'd just smile from ear to ear. But, man. Boy, you could see him touched, as obviously with Sandy.
Yeah.
You know, just they've been through an incredible trial.
And folks, it's not over. We want you to continue to pray for this young man and their family. Go to the Sharfie Strong page on Facebook. Give it a like. Follow him. Pray for him. You know, he still has benchmarks to reach. And I was just really excited to meet him.
Yes.
And
for our listeners, Dave, we were just talking about this before we came back from break. This is the second miracle, folks, in Decatur area.
Yeah.
The second miracle that we have sat in this studio and brought you.
Yeah.
Now, think about the entire world and how many people there are and how many miracles occur daily around the world at the hands of our God.
Yeah.
And this is two that we know of.
The Amsalem family.
Yes, the Amsalems and Mia, their baby. Yeah. And now Jackson and his family.
Wow. Well, it's a good lead in to let's hear the good news of the Lord. What's Sunday's gospel coming up, Mark, so
the gospel
people can think about it?
Is a story about the Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well.
Okay.
So this is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "Give me a drink. If you knew the gift of God and who is asking, who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than your father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking with you. At that moment, the disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, what are you looking for? Or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him and because of his word, and they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a lot there.
There is a lot there.
But, you know, I kind of wrap it up myself as how Jesus was so very countercultural. You know, the fact that he talked to a Samaritan woman, you know, that was unheard of. The Samaritans were below the Jews. Women were below men back then. It was just, and for him to, you know, ask her, draw me some water.
Yeah. He didn't ask. He told her to.
And it's like today, I mean, to be a Christian and especially a Catholic, we have to be very countercultural.
Yes.
When you think of what the culture is telling people to do today, and this started in the 60s when they said, if it feels good, do it.
Oh, wow.
You know, it all became the me generation, and we attempt our best in our countercultural way to put God and family first and ourselves last.
It's no huge stretch to understand, Dave, how the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders could have been so furious with Jesus because he was a radical. I mean, he appears, quote unquote, out of nowhere. I mean, he's been a humble carpenter for all these years in a small town of Nazareth, and all of a sudden he becomes a traveling radical who is just by his very speech, his oratory, and of course mixed in here and there a few miracles that he performed in the sight of all these folks. He mobilizes this huge following that are just absolutely enchanted with him. I mean, they just are glued to his every word. And not only is it a threat to pride, to greed, to all the other of the deadly sins to the elders of the church, but now it's just, what do we do about this guy?
Yeah, he turned their world upside
down. Yeah, and he's going to ruin everything we've been doing. We are the faith. You know, we're the Jewish faith, and this is us. And it is. You have to really put yourself back in the time and the mindset to understand how.
Yeah, I'm sure it was difficult.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure it was difficult. However, I think people that met him, like the woman who just simply wanted to touch his tassel.
Yeah.
You know. Or have the shadow, his shadow fall upon him.
And how about the centurion that, of all people, a centurion going to Jesus, humbling himself and saying, cure my servant.
Yeah.
And he walked for days. And in fact, Jesus tells him, well, you can head on back home. I don't have to go to your house because your servant will be well when you get there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just people from everywhere. Bartimaeus.
Yep. Well, that's a preview of the gospel. I'm sure Father, who is well-trained in Scripture, will have a lot to say about it. It is it's an important gospel. It's the third Sunday of Lent. And so pay attention this weekend and see if you hear the word countercultural. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Mark, let's take a quick break and come back with a little community calendar, and we'll see what else we got going on here on The Cradle and the Convert, 88.9, 96.5, Decatur Catholic Radio. All right. Welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert, and that music tells us it's time for the community calendar. Mark, let's talk about what's going on in the local Catholic community, and we'll start over there with you.
All right. Well, Our Lady of Lourdes is going to have a Lenten fish fry on March 17th. That's Friday. It's tomorrow, Big D. Mm-hmm. 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., and that will be at the school in the gym. Catfish, baked cod, fried walleye, fried shrimp. And the dinners also include the French fries, baked potato, coleslaw, and soft drink.
You know, Sharon told me they sold 1,600 meals at that last week.
Yeah.
1,600
meals.
That's amazing. Imagine. Good for them.
I don't know who that guy is, but he's got to be pretty good size.
Yeah.
All right. Also, speaking of Our Lady of Lourdes, they're holding a Havana Nights event. This sounds exciting. From 5 to 10 p.m. Saturday, April 1st. It's $40 per person, and you can get steak or chicken. Main dishes are all about Cuban recipes. The side dishes the same. And I guess you could take your straw hat and a big, cigar.
Big cigar.
Yeah,
walk and sit out in the parking lot.
And your shades. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I want to remind everybody that the KFC Fourth Degree and Our Lady of the Holy Spirit will offer the all-you-can-eat pancake, sausage, and breakfast biscuit on Saturday, March 25th from 7 to 11 a.m. Tickets are $6 at the door for adults and $3 for the little kids. And the proceeds go to our guests today to help offset their medical costs, the Scharf family.
Yeah, so, how about that?
Let's all try and get out and support that.
You know? We definitely need to do that.
Also, the St. Patrick's School 16th Annual School Auction will be Saturday, March 25th at the KC Hall in downtown Decatur. The doors open at 5. There's a dinner, silent, and live auction. Tickets are $25. And probably the most important thing I want to mention today, as we're running quickly out of time, is the WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio 6th Annual Dinner. That's coming up on Thursday, April 27th in Mount Zion at the Convention Center. And our speaker is our friend, the Reverend Albert Haas. Father Albert, he is a joy.
He's a trip.
I mean,
he is a real trip.
He was here for a mission at St. Pat's a couple of years ago, and I took him back to Springfield. And I don't think I ever laughed more in my life.
Oh, he's hilarious.
You know, he was a missionary in China.
Yes.
I wish I had just a fraction of his frequent flyer miles.
Oh, man.
Because this week he's in Michigan. He's in Oklahoma. Yep. He travels around and does these great things. He's an author. He's got CDs. You won't want to miss him, folks. I'm telling you, that's Thursday, April 27th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. All proceeds go to WDCR to help us pay the bills and stay stay on the air. $50 a person. Call 464-1099 to reserve your tickets. All right, Mark, tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. Have you got a prayer we can close
with? I do, and in fact, this is St. Patrick's breastplate prayer.
Good.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow to everybody. Join us next week, Mark. We're going to talk about angels and demons, and not the Dan Brown book.
But
we're going to talk a little bit about angels and that type of thing. So brush up on your homework on that.
Okay.
And I guess that's it. We'll see y'all next
week. I'm not
rubbing
elbows with any demons between now and then.
All right, my friend. I'll see you next week.
Good night, y'all.
On the Convert.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew. We'll talk to you soon.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.